You, Brother Rayleigh, singing about the blood. You know, the Bible says it's that blood that cleanseth. It is perpetually cleansing. It never loses its power. How much blood did it take to save a sinner? You and I? Let me tell you something. If there was only one person, well, let's say there was only two people. Adam and Eve were the only two people ever to live on planet Earth. They would still have to be the shed blood of Christ to purchase their salvation. If that was the only two people alive. You know, it's been a great time just in our study. And if you're visiting with us tonight, over on Wednesday nights, we're looking into the subject of examination. We've talked about the last 2 weeks about self-examination. We're going to finish that part of it up tonight. And then we're going to talk about next Wednesday night about the examination by men. You know, people actually watch what you do. And they actually come to a conclusion, possibly some of them, about their faith in Christ based on what they see and what we do in our lives and where we go and what we say. And so we're going to finish up our study tonight on self-examination. So I want you to take your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And when you get there, you'll recognize that this is the account of the Lord's Supper. And what needs to be done prior to receiving the Lord's Supper. Look at two verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28 and verse 31. Would you stand with me, please, as we conclude our study tonight on the examination or self-examination or the examination of self. Now, Paul writing here says that prior to taking the Lord's Supper, in verse 28, he says, "But let a man," and you understand that is a general sense, speaking of men and women. He says, "But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Now again, he says, let a man examine himself. Let him look at himself as he needs to look at himself to see prior to taking the Lord's table, if there might be anything that would be dishonoring to Christ, if there might be anything that would be destructive to the Christian life that's going on inside me that I'm harboring that would hinder me from being able to take the Lord's table and take it with a pure conscience. Look at verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, kind of the same thing, examining ourselves, we should not be judged. And I want to take these verses tonight, church, if I could, and conclude our study on self-examination or the examination of self. And I want you to be prepared tonight because what I want to talk to you about is examining within yourself. Remember, we talked about examining things about yourself, and we looked at those things the last couple of weeks, but Tonight I want to talk about examining within yourself. Now, folks, let me say this. When you start looking inside, it can get pretty ugly. Let me say that again. When you start looking inside, it can get real ugly. And that's the reason some of us, we don't want to look inside, because we don't want to look inside the cavities, the little chasms in our heart and our life, because we're afraid what we might find in there. Again, I told you last week, if we're going to surrender to Christ and we're going to say, Lord, I want to be whatever you want me to be, then the Holy Spirit's going to come to you in that still small voice. He says, okay, wonderful, but we're going to have to do some cleaning up of those rooms that you've got locked up in there. So go ahead and hand over the keys right now. Now, most of us are like, well, now hang on here just a minute. I wasn't talking about that type of surrender. Well, then if we're not willing to clean out all the closets, if we're willing to look in every nook and cranny of our life, then you cannot be his disciple. You cannot follow Christ as we ought unless we're willing to clean the house. Amen? So I want to take a look at those things tonight. I want you to hold on, because we're going to look inside and it can get pretty ugly when we start looking in our heart. Father, would you do something in our hearts tonight in service? We pray, Lord God, that tonight when we leave this place, that our hearts would be purified through the Word of God. We pray tonight, Lord, that you'd open our heart, our mind, and help us to examine within ourselves and look at those areas, Lord, that a lot of times we don't like to look at, because we know what's there. We know what is locked away in that area, in that portion of our life. And I pray tonight, Spirit of God, that we would hand the keys over to you, and that you might open that door and clean our heart and our life out, that we might be what we ought to be for Christ. And we'll certainly give you the glory and the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, again, I want you to think about how important that it was to examine yourself, as Paul said, prior to taking the Lord's table. Because we don't take that lightly. That is an important part. It's a self-examination that he's talking about in order that we might identify and clean out any impurities in our life. You know, that is something that we must all do on a regular basis. You know, I just be honest with you, I have to do that every day. Now, you may not have to do that every day, but I've got to do that every day, because I don't know about you, but it just seems like when I go to bed at night, I wake up in the morning, I don't know how these things get in my head. Huh? I don't know how they get in my heart, but sometimes I wake up in the morning and I think, man alive, am I saved? You know, sometimes you don't always feel saved. You don't always feel that way. But so you have to examine. You have to look within yourself and find out, hey, what's going on there? So I'm going to use in this portion of our study here tonight, and then I'll move on, about examining our spirit. Then we're going to talk about examining our temperament, and then we're going to talk about examining our gifts. But I want to talk to you, first of all, about examining your spirit. What type of spirit do you have when it comes to God, when it comes to people, when it comes to situations in life? And I want to ask several questions here, and I'm just going to make a comment. We're going to move on, because I got quite a few of them here under examining our spirit. First of all, when we examine ourselves and we look inside ourselves, we need to ask ourselves the question, am I critical of people and life in general? Do you understand that on your job or around your family, if you are constantly criticizing and complaining about life, do you know that lost people look at that and think, man, why would I want to be a Christian if they complain about it all the time? Why would I even want to come to Christ if all they do is gripe and bellyache and complain about how bad God is and how many problems they've got, and they never see this happen in their life? Why would anyone want to follow Jesus? Matter of fact, why would anyone but one want to come to your church? All they hear is constant criticism or complaining, and we need to ask ourselves the question, am I critical of people and of life in general? And folks, when we come to church, we're not coming to church with a pencil and pad in our hand critiquing everything and everybody. That's not what we're here to do. We're not here to walk in there and say, I'm going to talk to the pastor. Light out on the north side of the auditorium. Gum in carpet just west of piano. Folks, that's not what we're here to do. how can we come and be honest and have an experience, the worship experience that we need to experience with God, if we come criticizing and with a critical heart and attitude and be critical of people? Hey, I promise you, you hang around me or you hang around anybody, you will find things that are deficiencies in our lives. But may I ask you to do something? Instead of you being the one that seems to have to be the one pointing it out to everyone, how about just say, Lord, did you see? Right? How about if you just got to say something, get in your closet and say something, because I promise you, you won't talk very long. The Holy Spirit say, you know, we ought not to be doing that. And then that way, if you want to criticize, then you can criticize or criticize people or criticize things or whatever. You can do it in a private session with God. All right? So we need to ask ourselves the question, am I critical of people and life in general? Folks, can I say to you something? The Christian life is the best life there is. I wouldn't go back being lost for 1 second or $1 million. Not one time. So you know what? I don't need to criticize the Christian life. I need to exhort the Christian life. I need to pay. Listen, this is great. Now, people, the thing about it is, you know, things might not always be going like you want them to go in your life. But you can still smile and say, boy, isn't God good? Because He's good all the time. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter how that we see things or think that things are going, that we've derailed and, man, we've had a family meltdown. Let me say something to you. God is still good. So we need to exhort, we need to encourage people, we need to lift up the Christian life. It's the best life. We just need to ask ourselves a question. Hey, am I being too critical of people and life in general? Can I get a little more personal with you tonight? We need to look at ourselves in the mirror and ask ourselves, because the Bible talks about this subject. We need to look at ourselves and ask ourselves in the mirror, am I a gossip? Okay, let me say that again. Am I a gossip? I'm talking to me and all of us. Because may I say to you tonight that a gossip is just a person who likes to kind of just idle talk. It's a person that feels the need to tell the news. Now, I want to ask you several things. First of all, is it really my right to repeat things I hear just because I hear them? Is it really my right to repeat something just because I heard something said? You know, sometimes I hear things and I'm not exactly sure what context they were said in. And so I really don't have any right to say anything other than, hey, you know what, Lord, I heard this, but you know what, I don't know what context it is, so I'm not going to say anything about it. So, Lord, you know the needs. There you go. And just let God take care of it. You see, is it really my right to repeat things just because I hear them? And the answer to that would be no. No, it's not. You say, but I heard it with my own ears. But does it give you the right to go say something to someone else about it? You say, well, what do I need to do? How about pray for them? How about that? May I say, secondly, is it really my place to speak about something or someone just so I can prove that I'm in the know, that I know everything? Now, folks, I really don't go out of my way to listen in on other people's conversations. And by the way, you shouldn't either. But if for some reason you're an earshot of somebody and you hear a conversation going on and you hear something about someone or something, may I say to you, just zip it, all right? Because you have no idea the context or what's being discussed in that forum of that conversation. I'm just saying, when we look at ourselves, we need to ask ourselves, am I a gossip? If we are telling the news, if we have got have been tagged with the title that, oh boy, you don't want to tell them anything, they are the church news reporter. Folks, that is not a compliment. That is not a compliment. And matter of fact, when I'm telling you this, I'm telling you this because this type of thing grieves the Holy Ghost of God. Am I known in my church as a gossip, backbiter, divider, complainer? Or am I known in my church as a witness, a servant, a comforter, encourager, an exhorter? What I'm saying is we got to examine what's going on within ourselves and be honest. Can people speak to you about their day or about a family trial without you having to repeat what they say with exaggeration? Isn't it a shame that people may hear something or you tell someone something, and by the time they tell somebody, pretty soon it's exaggerated to the point to where, you know, there's no telling what that you have become now. Now, folks, I'm serious about what I'm saying here. And what I'm saying today is there's so many places that people can go and gossip. And it doesn't have to be in the church foyer. It doesn't have to be in the church parking lot. They can do it on their phones, on their computers. They can do it everywhere. And all I'm saying to you, folks, is listen, does that please God? No, it does not. It does not please God. And we need to examine ourselves. Am I critical of people and life in general? Am I a gossip? May I ask you a third question? Are you easily offended? Are you easily offended? Offended by what, preacher? Well, how about let's start off with preaching? Do we come to church and we are on pins and needles about what the preacher is going to preach about or what he's going to say because we're afraid that something's going to go out that's going to just kind of step on our toes? Are you easily offended? Now, let me say something to you tonight. I'm trying to be as kind as I can, but you know, if a person that's easily offended in the faith, that says something about your walk with God. It says something about your relationship with the Lord if you have a chip on your shoulder when you come to church. So what I'm saying to you is, are you easily offended by preaching? May I say, number two, by people. Do you know people are going to say things? They're just going to flat out open their mouth and not all that comes out of their mouth is glorifying to God. They're going to say things. But you know what? I read in the Bible that God remembers that we are but dust. The problem is we forget that we're dust. God remembers, and think about how many things that we've said contrary to the Bible and contrary to God, and yet He still had mercy and love toward you. He still forgave you, right? And because of that, shouldn't we have the same grace for others? Because, folks, let me tell you something. People many times come to church or you meet them out on the street, they have heavy hearts, and maybe they've got a burden, and maybe they say some things out of that hurt of their heart. And you got to understand that you don't know everything that's going on in their life, and sometimes when they say things, they say them out of hurt. Not trying to hurt you, but they're hurt. It's a little simple saying long ago that hurt people hurt people. And many times they say things that probably they wouldn't ordinarily say due to stress, due to hurt, due to a loss, due to who knows what. Let me move on. We need to ask ourselves, am I hypocritical with my life? Now, I hear it all the time, and so do you, church full of hypocrites. Now, let me say this. It shouldn't be. Okay, it shouldn't be. But people think the church is full of hypocrites. So you know how to solve that? The way that we solve that and close the mouth of unbelievers and skeptics, the way that we do that is, you know what? Just live righteously in Christ Jesus. Just obey the Bible. Just do what the Word of God says, and you won't have any problem with anybody calling you a hypocrite. But we need to look, am I hypocritical with my life? Am I living one way in front of my family and one way in front of my church family and a totally different way in front of my friends and my co-workers? Folks, I'm afraid that there may be some of us that have to face God with blood on our hands of people that have gone off into eternity without God because of our hypocrisy. Our hypocrisy. We need to ask ourselves the question, do I exaggerate the facts to make me look good? May I say to you that exaggeration, I'm just going to go ahead and say this, lying. That's what it is. To exaggerate the facts. But do I exaggerate the facts to make me look good? Let me move on and ask some more questions. Am I understanding of people? Am I understanding of people, particularly those that are going through situations and difficulties and adversities in life? You know, folks, we need to be understanding of one another. We need to be able to come to church and be understanding that, hey, this dear brother here, they're going through a hard time. Maybe they've got a family issue. This brother over here just lost his job. Hey, what we need to do is be understanding, pray with them, help them, encourage them. You see, we need to examine within ourselves. May I ask you another question? Am I speaking words of grace seasoned with salt? Am I speaking words of grace? I wonder how much money we'd have in our pocket if God gave us a dollar for every word of grace we spoke. Kind of like me? Not much. I wonder how much money we'd have in our pocket if the devil gave us a dollar for every critical word we spoke. Or every hurtful word, or every disparaging word that we spoke. Some of us might have a pocket full of money, but that's not going to be satisfying. I'm just asking you, are we understanding of others? Am I speaking words of grace? May I say to you next, do I encourage people daily? Do you look for someone to encourage? Do you look for someone to say, you know what, Lord, I don't know who it is going to be today, but show me somebody that I can encourage today. Show me somebody. And I promise you, if you'll make yourself open to the Holy Ghost of God like that, He'll show you somebody to encourage. Am I sincere about my faith? Do I mean business for God? Do we mean business for God? Look at yourself in the mirror. Examine yourself. Do I mean business for God? When I come to church, am I really coming to worship, or am I coming to just see who's there? Or am I coming to examine others? You see, my biggest job is I need to be examining myself. Am I sincere about my faith? Let me ask you one more and we'll move on. Do I have a real relationship with God? Or am I running on empty? I don't know. Maybe this is a man thing. But you know, sometimes we guys will look down there at the gas gauge and it's on the E, and we know just about how far or how much gas we've got once it hits the E. And we can kind of project, you know, about how far we can go with the gas. And we've passed 100 gas stations. And it's not that we don't have the money. It's just there's something in a guy. I'm going to find out how much I can get out of this. Now, we know it's got to be close, right? We know that there could be a possibility that I've misjudged the gauge, and it could be closer to being out of gas than I anticipated. Now, all of us guys have done that. I know none of the ladies do this, but I know all of us guys, we try, we go, we push it, and then here's what happens. We know we should refill, we know we're on empty, and then when it runs out, we get mad. And you know what? You know who we take it out on? The car. Man, we hit the hood, kick the tire, and the car's like, hey. One of these days, I wish God would do the same thing He did with Balaam and just have your car start talking to you. Why kickest thou me? Ain't done anything wrong. Hood opens up, you know, like Herbie. Now, all I'm saying to you, you know what, folks, there's no reason to be running on empty. No reason at all. Do you have a relationship with God? Why do you want your spiritual life to get down right below empty or right above empty and say, you know what, I'm going to see just how far I can go. I'm going to see just how far I can go on this. Let me tell you something. You won't go very far. And I promise you, you don't want to run out. You don't want to run out. Now, that's the examination within examining our spirit. The other two will go real fast, and that is examining our temperament. Would you turn to Psalm 139 for me for just a moment? You say, preacher, what is temperament? That's that manner of thinking. That's that manner of behaving or reacting characteristics of a specific individual. It's how God made you. You know, I told you earlier that God knows who we are and He remembers who we are. And my goodness, folks, if we could just accept how God made us and realize that God created you with a certain temperament. He gave you a certain personality. He gave you certain things because what He wanted to do was take that and put you in Trinity Baptist Church one day so that you could be and use that temperament and use how God made you to minister through this local New Testament church. Look at Psalm 139, verse 14. David said, I will praise thee. Now I want you to notice what he says. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Did you see? You see what it kind of seems to me that David just accepted the fact. You know what, Lord? This is how you make me. This is the personality that you gave me. This is who I am. And let me tell you something, folks. Look around. Just look around at how many different types of people that are here. You got some introverts, some extroverts. You got some people that are soft spoken, and some people that are loud spoken. You've got some people that are active, some that are inactive. You've got some people that are clowns and others that are not. You've got some people that they're people person, some people are not. They just as soon as amen, go to the car, go home. But you know what? I'm not to say, well, what's wrong with them? Stuck up and get in. You know what? You ever thought about that they just might not like to be around people? You say, well, I need to get over it. Well, maybe they should. But is that really your right to say what you think? That's not our right. You know what? Go out of your gate. You say, they ought to get over it. They ought to be friendly. All right, then let me tell you what to do. Then call them up tomorrow and say, listen, can I take you out to lunch? How about that? Okay, and just kind of force the issue there. I promise they're thinking, lunch? Boy, I can be out. I can be an outgoing person for lunch. Now, I'm just saying to you, church, listen, if we're going to examine ourselves within, examine our spirit, we need to examine our temperament. How God made us. Know how God made you. Know how you're wired up. You need to know what your weaknesses are, what your strengths are. And let me tell you something. When you find out what your weaknesses are, that's where you need to fortify. Because that will be the areas that Satan will try to find a way into your life and into your heart and into your mind. Know how you're wired up. Know why you have certain tendencies that frustrate you. Anybody here ever get frustrated? Have you pinpointed what frustrates you? Now listen, my wife and I now have been married 32 years, and you know, after 32 years of marriage, she could write down everything on a piece of paper because she knows what frustrates me. And the same thing I could do for her. And what I'm saying to you is there, each one of us need to know and find out what frustrates us, what brings us to a certain point of frustration. We need to know those types of things and avoid them. We need to know how to overcome weaknesses and enhance our strengths. We need to not settle for ignorance. Folks, what I'm saying to you is we got to get our head out of the sand. Because here's what we've thought. We've thought for so long that if we'll just ignore it, then it'll just go away. But it doesn't. God said you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I got some good news for you. God made you exactly how He wanted you. He created you exactly why He wanted you. He put in you the temperament that He wanted you to have because He knew that one day you would be a part of a local New Testament church. He said, I want you to take that temperament, and I want you to take it and use it and flourish within the body of that local New Testament church. Now, folks, to criticize ourselves and say, Lord, look at this. I don't like this nose. I don't like these ears. You're criticizing God. Because He made you the way He wanted to make you. And what we've got to do is accept ourselves. I didn't say accept sin. I said accept how God made you. And be happy and excited about it. But you know what? God made me. He broke the mold. And actually, you're right on target. He did break the mold. And in my case, thank God. Right? Ain't but one of me, ain't but one of you. Do you know anything that there's only one of is precious to God? There's only one of you. And you need to accept you as God has made you. Let me give you one more, and that's examining our gifts. Take your Bible, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians 12. I don't have just a few moments. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, we've talked about examining ourselves and kind of got a little personal, tried to look into some of the dark areas of our life and just determine, hey, is this me? Is this who I am? Am I known as a church critic or a gossip or a am I hypocritical? Do I exaggerate? Those types of things. But also looking, do I have a relationship with God? Am I understanding of people? Do I speak words of grace? And then accepting the fact that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God made you exactly like He wanted. But then, not only do we need to examine our spirit, examine our temperament, we need to examine our gifts that God has given each one of us. Because when God saves us, He equips us. And I want you to notice something here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 4. Paul says, now there are diversities, which means there are different types and different kinds of gifts, but the same, does your Bible say spirit? Okay, same controller there. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations. So he said in two verses here, he says there's diversity of gifts, difference of administration, diversity of operation. He says, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, look at this now, to profit withal. Everybody in here tonight, God has placed you, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, if you'll look there. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Not me. As it pleased Him. And you know what God's trying to do? God's trying to send visitors here to this church so He can place some more. But you know what? We, as the members, we need to find out who those visitors are. We need to go to them, encourage them, and thank them for being here and say, hey, listen, is there anything we can do for you, let me know, because I want to help you in any way we possibly can. See, what I'm saying is God puts us here as it pleases Him. He puts us in the body of Christ as it pleases Him. And it's to profit withal. Now I want you to notice 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? And the answer is, of course not. Are all prophets? What's the answer? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. That's an easy test, isn't it? No, 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 no. You ever take a test sometimes and all of a sudden the teachers and about the first five or six are all false? You said, I got this down. He's trying to trick us. He just go write all false down there. And from that point on, they were all true. He says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Let me give you a couple things, we're done, and that's this. Gifts from God are without repentance. That means God gives them to you, and guess what he expects you to do with them? Use them. He expects you to use them. Use them where? In your family, but in particularly the church of the living God. So you know what you have to do? You have to find out. Do you know that there are some people in Trinity Baptist Church that don't need to be working in the bus ministry? Did you know there are some people at Trinity Baptist Church that do not need to be teaching small children? Why? That's not their gift. And once they realize that that's not, hey, I'm telling you, folks, you know I do not have the gift of playing the piano. So guess what Brother Todd does not need to be doing? Playing the piano. Right? But there are people that God has given that gift and ability to, and you know what they need to be doing? Playing the piano. Just like God has given many of you a voice to sing, and if he's given you a voice to sing and we're not using it, we ought to be singing in the choir. We ought to be singing special music. We ought to be using our talents and abilities and gifts to magnify the Lord. Why? He gave that to you as a gift to use in his local church. You see, gifts from God are without repentance. He gave them to you, and he expects you to use them. Secondly, may I say, different gifts. There are different gifts within the church. You can write this down, Romans 12, verse 5 through 8. We're not going to turn there, but you can go and see that there are multiplicity, folks, of gifts given in Scripture that God sets in those people, puts them in the local church so we can function like a body. Let me make a statement here. An unknowing and uninformed body of believers is a dysfunctional body of believers. So what does that mean, preacher? That means we got too many people sitting in the church, but you don't know what their gifts are. So what happens if we don't find out and search our heart and go before God and find out what our gifts are so we can start exercising them within the church and putting them to practice in the church, then we're going to sit there and not accomplish what God wants us to accomplish and be what God wants us to be. And may I say to you, if we don't exercise our gifts, I'm afraid, folks, that some of us are going to dry up and die on the vine. So an uninformed and unknowing body of believers is a dysfunctional body of believers. But may I say, happy is the person who knows his or her gifts and puts them to practice for the glory of God. You know, if I went out to my truck tonight, opened the hood, I just took a flashlight and shined it in there, and I thought, what is that part of the, that doesn't even look like part of the engine. I just reached in there and tore it out and threw it out. I said, that ain't about to be a part of my truck. I looked down there again, I thought, what is that? And I just take a hammer, I don't even look at it and just knock it off. I think, well, everything else looks fine. I get back in my truck, turn the key, and it just goes. What's wrong? Crazy truck. All vehicles are dying and going to hell. I can't believe this. Now, you can scream. You can yell. You can get out and kick the truck all you want to. But what I'm saying to you, folks, it is not your job nor my job to determine who God puts in his church to function in that church as he so desires, because he put them here as it pleased who? Him. Let me ask you three questions. I'm done. Does my attitude justify a right testimony for God? Does my attitude, when I examine myself, is my attitude, does it justify a right testimony? When people see my spirit, my attitude, is it critical? Or am I saying, boy, the Christian life's the greatest life known to man. Oh, we serve a great God. Boy, we have a great book. Man, I go to a great church. Man, it's great to be alive. People think, man, alive, what's gotten into him? Might be Jesus. Might be just that he's full of the Spirit of God. Yielded. Does my attitude justify a right testimony? Here's the second question I want to ask you. Does my appearance justify a right testimony for God? Now, we're going to talk more about our outward appearance, because do you know that the Bible's very plain that man looketh on the outward appearance. It's all he has to go by. You see? By our spirit, our attitude, the way we look, talk, dress, everything. That's all he has to go by. Does my appearance justify a right testimony for God? And then may I say, number three, does my actions justify a right testimony for God? Colossians 3, 1 through 10, you can go read that. It talks about malice, anger, I mean, everything you can imagine about the actions of an individual. Now, folks, I simply wanted to conclude our study tonight on self-examination by allowing us to look inside ourselves and examine our spirit. Because I promise you, if I went around with a microphone and I came to some of you and I said, Brother so-and-so, what do you think about old Brother so-and-so there? If you had to put it in one word, what would you say? Gossip. That hurt, wouldn't it? That someone would think that you're a gossip. But there's a reason they think that. Or if you went over there and somebody and I held a microphone to somebody and said, one word, would you describe Sister so-and-so? Oh, godly. Servant. Well, now that has a lot better sound to it, doesn't it? But you know what we are? What we are? We're saved. We are what we are by the grace of God because of salvation. But may I say to you, we, in our outward appearance, in our outward actions, in how we speak and what we do, that's how men determine whether we're a disciple of Christ. Jesus told his disciples, he said, we're to love one another. He says, by doing that, all men shall know that you are my disciples. Would you bow your heads tonight? Every head bow, every eye, because how many can say, preacher, no beyond a shadow of a doubt, that heaven's my home, no question about it. If the eastern sky split tonight, I'm going to heaven. Slip your hands up high. Say